Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
In his discussion about the bodily resurrection of believers from the grave in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul answers directly some of the objections that apparently had been raised against this doctrine by members of the church at Corinth. Some of you will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? These are questions of doubt, questions of skepticism that are saying that the resurrection seems very impossible, very implausible, very improbable. But Paul says, far from it. It is just the opposite of that. And so he goes through a series of reminders, really, of what God has done in other areas of creation. From the world of agriculture, he reminds them that seeds must go into the ground and die in order to produce a living plant. And what comes out of the grave is connected to, but much more glorious from what went into the ground. And from the world of zoology, the amazing variety of animals, and from the world of astronomy, the amazing variety of heavenly bodies. And then he says in verses 42 and following, so also is the resurrection of the dead. In similar fashion, as God has designed all of these operations, all of these different bodies, in the different realms of creation, so God has designed the resurrection body. We start with a natural body, but we end up with a spiritual body. We start with a perishable body, but we end up with an imperishable body. We start with a dishonorable body and end up with a glorious body. We start with a weak body and we end up with a powerful body. And the first body, with all of its shortcomings, has to come to an end if the second one, the glorious body, is going to result. Just like you won't get a crop if you don't sow a seed, you won't get a resurrection body if you don't sow a natural body. And so the resurrection is very plausible for a God who has designed all of these systems, all of these illustrations that we see in the world around us. Just think about those and then apply it to what the Bible tells us about the body of human beings and their resurrection from the dead. So we're going to go on from that point on this Tuesday, June 28, with those of you who've joined us for this broadcast today, and we thank you for tuning in, and we thank you for your financial support, which is necessary to keep teaching on this station. Well, Paul now gives us some further explanations in verses 45 and following, when he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Wow. This is rich. This is so encouraging. So in these clarifications, Paul relates this matter of the resurrection of our bodies to the two Adams, back to verse 45. As it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first Adam became a living soul, a human being, and passed his humanity on to his descendants. That first man, of course, is Adam. But the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit. So, the first Adam passed on his humanity to his people. The last Adam passes on his spiritual life to his people. Each one was appointed the head of his race. Adam was appointed the head of the human race, and what he was, he passed on to his people. And what he was a human being with a physical body and a sinful human being who therefore had a dying and decaying human body. And he passed that on to his people. Christ came to gather, to create a new people, a new race. He became the head of a race of people, and a race of people to whom he gave his new life, who gave his life-giving spirit. So, we start out in the realm of the first Adam, the natural man, but if we belong to Christ, we are raised from the dead like the second man, Christ, who is the head of those who trust in him. So this matter of resurrection from the dead is related to the two Adams. Into the ground we go, related to the first Adam, and we die and decay. Out of the ground we rise, linked to the second Adam and to his glorious resurrection. But it's not only related to the two Adams, but it's related to a prescribed order, according to verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. This is important. Paul makes a point of this here, that there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body, and the natural comes first, and the spiritual comes second. It's a prescribed order. And there's no sense in lamenting that we don't have our spiritual bodies now, bodies that don't decay, that don't die, that don't get sick, that don't fail, that don't experience dishonor and weakness and so forth. That all comes at the proper time in the prescribed order, but only in the prescribed order. The natural comes first, the spiritual comes second. This is God's order. We must submit to God's order. We really don't have any choice in the matter. We can't change it, but understand it and thank God for it and rejoice in it and look forward to what's coming. What's coming next? What's coming next is so glorious, it's hard to understand. It's hard to imagine. And then thirdly, this is related to a particular realm. It's related, first of all, to the two Adams. It's related, secondly, to a prescribed order. And it's related, thirdly, to a particular realm, verses 47 through 49. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So it's related to a particular realm. You've got the realms of the two Adams. The realm of the first Adam was earth. The realm of the second Adam is heaven. And our resurrection results from these two realms. The first is earthly. The second is heavenly. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. Is that not right? How was man made? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. God fashioned his body out of the dust of the earth, and man, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But he is of the dirt. He is of the dust. That's what he was made from, and that's what he returns to. Sometimes there's even references to that in burial services. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. That's what we came from. We came from the dust, we return to the dust in our earthly body. We came from the ground, we return to the ground in our earthly body. We start in the realm of the earth, but in salvation, we transfer into the realm of heaven, and the final part of our redemption that makes that transfer is the resurrection of our bodies. Our souls, of course, go to be with the Lord at the moment of our death, and we're with the Lord forever until the Lord returns to raise the bodies of his people. And when that happens, then our redemption is complete, and we will have been transferred soul and body out of the earthly realm into the heavenly realm forever. And so we have this transformation of Christ's people. As we have born, we read in verse 49, the image of the man of dust, isn't that right? Don't we all bear the image of Adam? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Praise God for that. And so from the image of the first representative, our first representative, Adam, we shall be raised into the image of our second representative, Christ, so that we will have bodies like he had when he rose from the grave. So as in this life, we have borne the image of the earthly, so in heaven, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. It's a wonderful, wonderful doctrine, this doctrine of the bodily resurrection of believers. Don't question it. Don't criticize it. Don't doubt it. Don't deny it. Believe it. Look forward to it. Glory in it. And so the purpose of telling us these things is to assure us that the doctrine of resurrection is very reasonable. In fact, it is not only reasonable, but it's necessary. It's a necessary part of the gospel. It is necessary for the children of Adam to be changed, to be made suited for heaven. How else can those who have perishable bodies enjoy heaven forever? Certainly not on these perishing bodies. So we have to have transformed bodies, which takes place in the resurrection from the grave. It is necessary for your salvation that this occur. That completes salvation. And my, oh my, the doctrine of the resurrection is so invigorating, so energizing, so emboldening. It invigorated the early disciples. It invigorates all those who believe this teaching, this revelation from the Word of God. And those who believe this can face the world with this powerful truth. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's the way the chapter will end, and we'll get to that shortly. But for now, we just pause and revel in what we have considered, and we'll take it up again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.